catalyst is defined as something that causes activity between two or more persons or forces without itself being affected. I'd never really given much thought to that concept. Well, until we were all caught in the middle of a global pandemic. About 6 months ago, I wrote an article about the flocks of millennials and boomers moving to the Mile High City, and somehow it went viral. I thought it was just another think piece for BuzzFeed that would be like any other article I wrote. My parents would tell me they loved it, and a few friends might check it out and share it on Facebook. I'd be on to the next project as soon as I hit send. But the morning after the article was published, I had a bunch of texts from my good friend Preston telling me that the article had already had about 80,000 views. It would only go up from there, and I realized that there was something about the allure of the Rockies and the people who were moving there that might be worth further exploration. Fast forward to a few weeks ago when this sudden turn of events landed me back in Colorado, working on an idea that felt like it might be worth a shot. I was going to take a chance on writing a book and making a podcast about the Mile High City. Maybe it would be just the thing to help me ride the wave of my viral article. But before I knew it, I was suddenly caught up in another story entirely. A story that involved my friends, a disappearance, and the city I had left behind years ago after college. I'm Ryan Streeter, and much of what you're about to hear in this episode was created or recorded during my first 48 hours back in Denver. A lot has happened over the last couple of weeks. A lot. It may seem a little strange talking about millennials, architecture, and history when someone has gone missing. In order to understand where we are now, it's important that you know where we started. My first instinct was to shut the project down entirely, but with the encouragement of the family, I decided to shift the focus of my podcast. I would collect as much information as possible and hopefully find out what happened to our friend. Our hope was that we could find the key or some piece of information in my notes that would unlock this mystery. But before I get ahead of myself, let me go back. Back to the beginning, when I was just dreaming of making a little podcast about the bright lights of Denver. When the time came for me to start looking at colleges, I knew that I wanted to get out of Texas. I was looking for something completely different. I grew up in Austin and I loved it, but it was time for a change. As an aspiring writer, I thought a bigger city might provide a community of like-minded artists that would inspire and spark my creativity. We planned visits to schools in New York, LA, and Boston, and it was clear that I was going to need a little bit more open space than any of those places could provide. After a lot of late-night conversations with my parents and a few more campus tours, I made my decision. I chose CU Boulder and quickly realized that I had moved to a different version of my hometown. While that was comforting for me, I had left Texas looking for more. So by the end of my spring semester, I made the decision to transfer to CU Denver. I had been back and forth to Denver throughout the year, and there was no comparison for what it had to offer an 18-year-old who loved the arts and the outdoors. I was able to bike around the city, visit museums, spend a weekend in the mountains, and the nightlife didn't hurt.
Hey, buddy. I bet you're in the air already, so by the time you'll get this, you'll be here. Welcome back. I'll be at work when you get in, but just park in the alley behind my place. I left your key in one of those rocks by the back entrance. It's a round gray rock that you'll have to look for because it really blends in. It shouldn't be a late night for me, so I'll be up bright and early. Maybe we can grab breakfast somewhere in the morning? Anyway, I'm rambling. Safe travels, and if I don't catch you tonight, I'll see you in the morning.
That's Preston McCall, one of my best friends and landlord for the next month. We both graduated from CU Denver in 2012, and besides my mom, she's my biggest supporter. When I was kicking around the idea of this podcast, it was Preston who gave me that final push and was even kind enough to offer up her guest room for as long as I needed. Everyone needs a ride or die, and for me, it's definitely her. We've been friends ever since we shared a bottle of warm tequila in the Pepsi Center parking lot after a Beyoncé concert, the music thumping through the still night air as she and I shared a quiet drink, the soft sounds reminding us that if people liked us, we should, in fact, put a ring on it. Somehow, after all these years, we're still looking out for each other, and I can't wait to catch up. If you've ever wondered whether or not Denver is a real city, just try to drive in any direction after 3 p.m. on any day of the week. The traffic is very real. I thought it was bad back in my college days, but this is more like Los Angeles. It seems like parts of the city are under perpetual construction. As I drove toward Preston's, I noticed new subdivisions along the highway and thousands of new apartments dotting the downtown skyline. I was surprised to see an impressive collection of cranes that add to the whole Sim City vibe going on here. Ask any Sim who just moved to town and they'll tell you that there are 300 days of sunshine a year. They'll tell you that Denver combines the sophistication of a bustling metropolis with the great outdoors. They would probably forget to tell you that Denver is also a city of transplants, and that isn't necessarily a new phenomenon. Something has always drawn people to the beauty of the Rocky Mountains. In the early days, the Cowtown was a virtual ghost town until the Gold Rush began. The city quickly became another stop in the lawless frontier of the Wild Wild West. People came from all over to experience the majesty of the Rockies and take a chance on getting rich. Today isn't much different, but instead of gold, people are pouring into the Mile High City for an abundance of reasons. For jobs in big tech and aerospace, or to get outside on the trails, or perhaps one of the many bar and restaurant patios full of millennials and Gen Xers sipping craft cocktails and beer. And of course, let's not forget, marijuana. As of last year, almost 32% of Denver's population is in the millennial generation, someone born between 1981 and 1996. Just to be clear, I fall into this category. Denver has always attracted a younger demographic. In the 1970s, the city's appeal attracted a generation of baby boomers. Like their children, millennials and Gen Xers, they came here for a fresh start in a vibrant community. Regardless of the generation, they all seem to be seeking the same list of must-haves when they make the decision to move to Denver. Quality of life, walkable neighborhoods, community ties, career opportunities, convenience, and proximity to the outdoors. I mean, who doesn't want to watch the sunset at Red Rocks? A constant pool of young talent has also drawn world-class businesses to Denver and contributed to the startup culture that has come to define the town. It wasn't surprising when most of my friends from college decided to stay put after graduation. When I arrived at Preston's place, the entire neighborhood looked different. So different. I mean, where did all these new buildings come from? All these high-rises and newfangled architecture, it was different. But some things never change. And Preston is one of those things. I laughed when I found a bottle of tequila propped up on the guest bed. I settled in and set up my recording equipment to make sure I knew what the hell I was doing.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2. Hello, hello, no? Would Halo be better? Remember those, no? Okay, all right.
I wanted to understand how a city like Denver would guide its growth and plan for the future. It got me thinking about a lot of different questions. How does the local government determine how a city should look and feel? As a city evolves, who is it that navigates that process? I reached out to the Department of Community and Planning Development, or CPD, and was fortunate enough to schedule my first interview with Executive Director Laura Aldrete. Hello, Laura. It is so amazing to meet you. Thank you so much for your time. So I just have a few questions for you, and I would like to start with, could you give me an overview of what the Department of Community Planning actually does?
So this really starts it's a wide spectrum, beginning with visioning with the community, residents, businesses, about what they want to see for their future. Or it's at a neighborhood scale, I'll set the vision for the direction that the city is moving. There's also, in some areas, more restrictive design standards and guidelines that begin looking at materiality, how it addresses the public realm, those types of things. So it goes from very vision all the way to very specific plumbing, electrical, heating types of safety code.
Do you have a vision of what the public realm looks like in the next 10 years as Denver continues to grow?
I think the direction that I hope Denver moves in is that we continue to reclaim that public realm, that public space for people. Right. And so when we began slowing down traffic, changing the design of those streets to emphasize people and bikes and less about cars, shutting down streets or taking out on street parking and delivering places for people to sit and eat or just sit and be and watch the world walk by.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on affordable housing in Denver?
It's an interesting question. I think we have to think about affordable housing in terms of a spectrum. I believe that, you know, I think where CPD is headed and what we're trying to do is around that piece of complete neighborhood is we need to be able to offer affordable housing at a range of options in every neighborhood. So that if you're a barista, you don't have to take 3 buses to get to your fancy coffee shop in a fancy neighborhood. You can live in the same neighborhood. Or if you're working retail, or if you're a student, you should be able to live and work or go to school in the same neighborhood. There's so much service jobs that happen downtown. And yet none of that population of that workforce has an opportunity to live in their neighborhood, right? So then you get a city, a downtown, a central business district that doesn't have a heart, right? Because your people aren't caring. It's not their neighborhood. They're just there working and then leaving to go home. And so I think we have got to bring affordable housing to downtown and to stratify those housing options. But it's also happening in our neighborhoods. I want to be clear, like it's not just a downtown issue. Throughout, throughout our city, there are places for affordable housing and there are neighborhoods that don't have affordable housing. And I don't think that is a long-term sustainable solution for us as a city.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. In your opinion, what do you think Denver offers the younger generation that continues to drive them here?
Two thoughts on that. One is 300 days of sunshine and proximity to outdoors. I know more people who have said, I was here in junior high on spring break, and I promised myself when I was getting back on the bus or back on the plane that I'd either come to college here or as soon as I finished college, I'd make my way back to Colorado.
I'm going to be honest, that's what keeps me here.
So I think that's one. And the other piece is, we had some great leadership in the 80s who saw us boom and bust through the oil and gas industry, which was our only economy, and who said we have got to diversify. And so we started working to really bring in tech, to really bring in service industry, to bring in, to you know, raise our education stats. And we have a much more diverse economy that allows people to pick and choose, right? It's not just one flavor of jobs that you can get in Denver. I think that is, you know, that wisdom that came in the 80s has served us literally since then and enables a wide range of millennials to come in, a wide range of people to come into our city.
How do you think the development and gentrification of Denver's neighborhoods is affecting its culture?
I know Denver has always grown, right? For 150 years, we have always evolved and changed and added and rebuilt. That is not gonna end or change. I think some of the struggle that we experience is the pace at which change happens. I would also say that gentrification, the feeling of gentrification is when you don't feel that you have been asked to participate or been given an opportunity to participate, whether it's in what that change is going to be or the financial benefit of the outcome of that gentrification or of that change, and you feel left behind. I think there's also a cultural connection to that. And right, you have to recall that, or maybe you don't know, you probably don't know, my undergraduate degree is in anthropology. So I think about culture and place, and I think about, and having been raised here, I think about what is hard for me, even though I support density, I support change and growth, is that there are places that I grew up with, understanding in one context with one history. And as it changes, nobody recognizes what that place used to be. Nobody carries that culture forward. Nobody carries that history forward. And so then you get resentment that this thing that had value to me in one point of my life has no longer recognized by the influx of new coming in, whether it's physical buildings or new people coming in, to say, hey, what is this place that I'm coming into? What has the history been? What is the, who are the people that I'm moving into next door, and what is their history? That lack of acknowledgement, I think, is the struggle, is probably what I think is one of the biggest struggles that we encounter in gentrification. And part of it is just simply acknowledging, right? When you travel internationally, or hopefully even nationally, right? You read about it, you go and observe the buildings, you go observe the cities and the places and the people, and you eat the food and you come back with this enriched experience. And it's like, how do you have that experience? How do you have that attitude coming into a new city? And ignite, like, what is the experience about the food and the place and the people and the history that I am coming into? And I think that is our, if we can enrich that moving forward, I think growth will happen in a way that is, you know, feels better to most of the residents that are from here.
Yeah, that was, I couldn't have said it better myself. That was really powerful. Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Thank you.
After my incredible interview with Laura, I drove to Union Station to meet Preston. When I left about a decade ago, Union Station was undergoing a renovation and expansion. The updated transportation mecca includes shops, restaurants, bars, and a swanky hotel. Preston is a sucker for a pancake, so we headed to Snooze, one of Denver's businesses that has become a national brand. Red Robin, Otterbox, Chipotle, Smashburger, Qdoba, Crocs, and Snooze all started here. As we finished our meals, I wanted to test my equipment again, so I asked Preston some questions. Hey, do you mind if I record some of this?
Yes, I'm trying to enjoy my breakfast.
Come on, it's just a test, and I have to start with someone, so I may as well settle for you. You bought that house right after graduation, right? Has the neighborhood changed since then?
Well, I couldn't afford to live there now, that's for sure. The only reason I was able to do it then was because my grandmother helped me with the down payment. I always wanted to live in that area. I basically grew up there. My whole family lived in North Denver until I was in high school, and that's all the neighborhood was, families, mostly Hispanic. But as soon as the commercial development started in the Highlands, there was kind of a ripple effect, and every neighborhood around it started to shift into something completely different.
Feels like the whole city's going through that right now. Your neighborhood used to be a bunch of single-family homes, and seems like so many of those have been replaced by condos and boxy townhomes.
Yep, they're everywhere. I think everyone was just trying to keep up with the demand. I mean, I thought the pandemic would have slowed things down a little, but people are still coming from all over the country. And the development is all over the city. I mean, look where we are. We're eating lunch in this new and improved Union Station. You won't believe all the changes downtown. A few blocks from here is the Dairy Block. Hotel, shops, bars, and a market inside that's basically a fancy food court. I'm sure you'll love that. In fact, I've got a whole assortment of fancy food courts coming your way. Make sure you call it a market, though. That way it won't make you mad when you pay $30 for a sandwich.
Seems like you aren't quite sure about Denver's changing landscape. Ever think you'll move?
Out of Colorado? No. I'd move to the mountains, maybe, or up north, assuming I could afford it. Actually, I take that back. I miss the food too much. As much as I complain about all the new transplants, especially from California and Texas, It would take a lot more than that to change my mind. I am perfectly happy with my 2 shifts a week at the bar, and my design projects are starting to pick up quite a bit. I'd like to travel more, but this will probably always be home. What's not to like?
The Broncos?
Oh, please don't. No, do not even go there.
Our conversation naturally took a turn down memory lane, and that good to be back feeling almost felt more like a good to be home. Not only did it feel great to see my friend, it just felt good to be out around people. Preston had offered to do some design work for the project, and after we sketched some ideas, we raised a mimosa to the new adventure. Somewhere between the pancake flight and our 9th cup of coffee, Preston brought up an old friend from college, Taylor Levitt. Taylor is a professor of architecture at UCD, and according to Preston, knows everything about the city. We met Taylor in an early morning economics class when Preston offered to buy breakfast in exchange for some of Taylor's notes. We survived the semester together on breakfast burritos, lots of laughter, and Taylor's excellent note-taking. After I moved back to Texas, Preston and Taylor stayed pretty close, and when the idea of helping with the podcast was presented, he was all in.
Hey, Taylor. It's Preston. Ryan's here, and we were just talking about meeting up this afternoon. Give me a call back. We're not too far from campus, and can't wait to hear from you. Bye.
We walked the half mile along the 16th Street Mall and over to the UCD Architecture Building. 16th Street has always been an interesting mix of shops, tourists, professionals heading to lunch or work, and street performers. There's always something to stop and take in, but the pandemic has created a different landscape. It's quiet. It's like a ghost town. And all of the shops and bustling restaurants that I was so used to seeing were empty. When we arrived on campus, I was overcome by a range of emotions. New buildings, new student housing, new parking lots had sprung up everywhere. I was both shocked at the expansion and comforted by the nostalgia of the things that hadn't changed. If I closed my eyes, I could still hear that whistling tune from the song Home by Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. The campus is fairly quiet this time of year. The lull between graduation and the start of summer classes left a smattering of mass students here and there. We had just arrived at the Tivoli building when Preston received a voicemail from Taylor.
Hey, I feel awful. I completely forgot I had office hours scheduled today and I have to head back. I can meet you guys later tonight if that works. I should be done by about 5:30 or so. Just let me know.
While Preston made reservations, I took a look around the Tivoli. Seeing the students made me realize I had spent so much time focusing on what brought me to Denver that I hadn't asked anyone else what brought them to town. It was time to take this backpack off and ask them.
I am from Brighton, Colorado, but right now I'm living in Denver.
I'm originally from Seattle and I moved here about a year ago.
I'm from Chicago.
Lakewood, Colorado.
I'm from New Orleans.
I am from Virginia.
From Denver.
My favorite thing about this campus is how it's like smack dab in Denver, so there's so many places that you can go and see.
Just being able to like walk everywhere I go, everything is a walking or biking distance, and the public transportation here is really good.
I like all the museums.
I wanted just to go to college in-state, and it was closer to where I live.
I don't really like how many people have been moving to Colorado. It's kind of made it really clustered, and I know like the housing market has really kind of gone up now because of it, so I don't really like the foreigners as bad as that sounds from different states. So
as long as people aren't like rude to the city and rude to the people and just like respect the nature, then I'm cool with it.
So I like what's going on economically. I think that there's a lot of good opportunities that are occurring here, but as a local I got displaced.
I'm worried about that displacement along with just generally, I hate those buildings. I do not like them.
Great to see that other people want to appreciate the state as well, but I'm also kind of sitting in traffic going, this is nice. So, you know, mixed feelings about that.
There weren't as many people, and then as I've grown, I've seen a lot more people, and it's definitely gotten a little out of hand, even in Brighton. It's just growing exponentially, and I'm not a huge fan of it, but
my brother's having a difficult time finding housing.
If I ever want to have a family, I can't live here. You know what I mean? Like, it really kind of disgusts me in a weird way, because it's like all my family's here, all my friends are here, and I can't buy a house. I don't know if I'll ever be able to buy a house here.
I couldn't have imagined a better day one, and I was looking forward to catching up with Taylor and hopefully adding another valuable source to the podcast. We settled on Linger for its incredible view of the city and killer fusion menu with food from all over the world. We had some time to kill, so we hopped on our bikes to head to the Highlands. The Highlands neighborhood sits northwest of downtown Denver, and over the past decade has become one of the most coveted areas in the city. Have you ever gone back to a place that exists like a snapshot in your head? It could be where you grew up, or in my case, where you spent 4 long years getting a degree and learning how to be an adult. If you have good memories of that time, I believe a piece of you wants to make sure that snapshot always remains the same. Preston started to see the magnitude of change through my eyes. If you're living in the second most gentrified city in the nation, you get used to seeing constant evolution, and it's easy to lose track of just how much is going on. Some of the updates had been done with the intention of preserving the historic feel of the neighborhood, while others looked shiny and out of place. We made our last turn, and one of my favorite Denver spots came into view, a giant 28-foot-tall cream can that is home to Little Man Ice Cream. It makes me feel like a kid again, and I love it. Linger is right next door, so we locked up our bikes and went inside. Taylor beat us there and was already at a table on the rooftop. There's nothing like summer patio season in Denver, and the view from the Linger rooftop can't be beat. We settled in, and Taylor was more than happy to spend time talking all things Denver. Just so we're official here, are you giving me permission to record this conversation?
Yes. Do I need to watch my language?
That's what editing is for. Let's start with your name and occupation.
I'm Taylor Levitt, and I teach for the College of Architecture and Planning at CU Denver.
Very full circle. Congratulations.
Why, thank you. I love it.
What made you decide to stay in Denver after graduation?
I'm a native, and this is just home. Denver's a pretty special city with an incredible history. I think it's really important to keep that history alive.
Do you think the growth of the city threatens its history?
I think that any city that faces the exponential growth that Denver is experiencing is going to struggle to bridge its past and future. A certain amount of change is healthy for a city, but you don't want to lose the things that define the culture of a neighborhood. I think Rhino is a perfect example of that. Technically, that area is part of Five Points, and originally Rhino just referred to the group of artists and studios that had taken up residence in some empty warehouses near Brighton. Now the land is being snapped up and developed as fast as possible under the Rhino name. As the development closes in on the heart of Five Points, it seems like we're consuming the city instead of living in it. Don't get me wrong, I love the Shake Shack just as much as the next guy, but I'm not sure it's culture.
The bros would beg to differ.
Well, everybody loves a milkshake. But as Rhino grows and Five Points shrinks, it makes you wonder about the people that used to live there.
I've done a lot of research on discriminatory housing practices and their effect on the cultural makeup of metropolitan areas. One of the more interesting books I've read about this was Richard Rothstein's The Color of Law.
And yet, we've left untouched the biggest segregation of all that overwhelms everything else and hangs over our entire society, and that is that every metropolitan area in this country is residentially segregated. I've lived in many of them. There are clearly defined areas in everyone that I've lived in that are all white or mostly white, or all African-American and mostly African-American. And all of us accept this as part of the natural environment. It's not we think it's a good thing. We know we say it's too bad, but we think it's sort of natural, normal, something we accept. It's not that we've tried to do anything about it and have failed. We've never even tried.
It's the same in Austin. It's the same in Denver. It's the same all over.
Exactly. We're sitting in the Highlands. This used to be its own city made up of almost entirely Hispanic and European immigrants.
I'm going to stop you. This is great. I'd love to have a conversation with you if you have some time, What's your schedule like over the next couple days?
It might be wide open since Tony Soprano's following you around.
Not fair. It's not that big of a deal.
What are you talking about?
Taylor thinks somebody has been following him.
I feel like we're gonna need another round of shots for this. I turned off the recorder, and we talked for another 45 minutes or so, just filling each other in on life. We talked about college and all the things we've been up to since then. Taylor and I made plans to meet in the morning, and we ended our evening with a few more shots of tequila. Both Preston and I had an early morning and a big day ahead, so we decided to call it a night. Taylor was going to grab a bite and head home to send some emails, so we said our goodbyes and headed downstairs for the ride back. Before I kicked off from the curb, I swung my backpack around and hit record. It was the best I'd felt in a long time, and I wanted to remember every moment.
We're gonna go a different way. Try to keep up.
We're rolling. Give me your best stuff.
Oh, you know it's gonna be pure gold, baby. Follow me.
As I followed Preston on a zigzag back toward home, my mind started to drift, and the self-doubt slowly started to creep in. Maybe it was the booze, or maybe I was just in my head too much, but I started questioning this whole idea. If you look around, it's pretty clear why people want to move to Denver, especially young people. The city is vibrant and alive, and different from a decade earlier. It felt like the Denver I knew was slowly disappearing. Change can happen so fast, even overnight, but the story of any city is really about growth and adaptation. It dawned on me that the city and I were on the same journey, both of us experiencing growing pains and learning to adapt. I felt drunk and started to ask myself some questions. Was this podcast going to be interesting to anyone? What would make this project different from any of the other thousands of podcasts out there?
Hold up for a second.
A little tequila and you need your phone to find your way home, huh?
Shut it. Taylor and shots don't mix well, so I just want to check in. You lead us home then, tough guy.
It was at this point that I turned around and saw Denver in all its glory. It was a warm night and the skyline was breathtaking. I think Willie Nelson said it best when he sang, "The bright lights of Denver are shining like diamonds, like 10,000 jewels in the sky. And it's nobody's business where you're going or where you come from. And you're judged by the look in your eye." From the beginning, everyone was coming here for that fresh start, for something new. Hell, it's what brought me back to town. Like Willie said, it's nobody's business where you're going or where you come from in the Mile High City. When you don't know that everything is about to change, you don't really pay attention to all the details. Here's what I remember. Preston and I left Linger somewhere between 7:45 and arrived home between 8:15 and 8:30. I spent the next couple of hours listening to the interviews from the day while also trying to calm my feelings of self-doubt. Around 10:30, I was about to get up and head to the kitchen when Preston knocked on the door to say goodnight. You can always count on Preston to check in. She just has that caretaker vibe. I asked if she had heard from Taylor, and she hadn't. But she said a selfie with a martini on Instagram let her know that Taylor was just fine, even after the shots of tequila. I went to bed wondering if I had made a rash decision moving back to Denver to make a podcast in the middle of a pandemic. I woke up to a knock on the door. Not a normal knock. This was urgent. Preston looked worried. She sat on the bed and played me a voicemail.
"Preston, it's me. I'm a little freaked out. It's probably nothing, but call me back if..."
The Bright Lights of Denver is produced by DCPA Off Center in partnership with Historic Denver. Discover more of the story through the Bright Lights of Denver Facebook group and follow @BrightLightsDenver on Instagram. Learn more at denvercenter.org.